بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولاه وبعد الحمد لله الحمد لله today's okay give it to the brother today's our first session for this new term Medina course intermediate level book one. Before we start with the lesson, and we are going to take a lesson today. We're going to try to do as much as we can of the first lesson. If we can complete it, that would be wonderful. If we can't complete it, then we're going to try to do as much as we can. Everybody sign the attendance? Brothers and sisters, please, I'm just going to be reminding from time to time to make sure that you please sign the attendance. I'm going to leave the attendance sheet right here in case anybody comes in late. You can just pass it to them. It's very important that you write your name on the attendance. And I say write your name because we don't want you to sign it. I can't read the signatures. I want you to print your name so we can know who was here. Because we do keep attendance. And we'd like to recognize those who are regular in attendance. Before we start the lesson for today, as I began to say, and we are going to try to do as much as we can of the first lesson, the Dars al-Awwal. Before we begin with that, a couple of comments we want to make. First thing, I just want to remind everybody that we are in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. That these are the days of Hajj. These are the days of Hajj. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith as sahih, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلَ الصَّالِ فِيهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشْرَةِ That there are no days in which good deeds done in them are more beloved to Allah than good deeds done in these 10 days. First 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So it's incumbent upon us to take advantage of these days. Don't let them pass away. Today is already the fourth day of Dhul-Hijjah. Already, four. Khalas. Before we know it, it'll be 10. It's finished. Take advantage of these days. Occupy yourself. Increase in the doing of good deeds. Extra prayers, charity, fasting. Whatever you can do, dhikr, dua, recitation of the Quran, standing in the night, this is the time to do it. There are no days in which good deeds are more beloved to Allah than good deeds done in these days. To the end of the hadith. So I'm saying this is just a reminder to myself and all of us. You can fast these days as much as you can. Give charity, read Quran, make dhikr, dua, whatever you can do. Try to occupy yourself with acts of obedience that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing, and this is the most important thing, the most important of all matters in terms of this class, that every one of us should make sure that our intention is for the sake of Allah. That whatever we are doing, if it's not for the sake of Allah, it's wasted. It's wasted, whatever we may be doing. Whether it's ritual acts of worship like prayer or fasting, or whether it's just being kind to somebody, helping the elderly person, whatever it is, every good deed, if you want a reward for with Allah, you have to make sure your intention is that you're doing it for the sake of Allah alone. So I'm saying that if we are studying, if we want to learn Arabic for the sake of Allah, in order for us to improve ourselves in our deen and get near to Allah and read the Quran and learn Islam, then we should make sure that our intention is that. That that's our intention. That I'm not coming here today because I want to learn Arabic so I can speak to people in the street, or I want to communicate with some Arabs, or I just want to make believe I have knowledge because I know Arabic. Rather, our intention should be that we want to get near to Allah, we want to worship Allah, that we want to make available to ourselves the knowledge of Islam that's in the Arabic language so that we can worship Allah better. So this is very, very important that our intention is purely for the sake of Allah. And from time to time, we may bring this topic back up again just to remind us that we keep our intentions purely for the sake of Allah alone. After that, I'll mention a number of things here, and then in the end, inshallah, if you have any questions or any comments or anything that you want to say, inshallah, we'll take a few minutes before we start the first dars. What I want to say now is what I expect from you. Okay? When you come to this class, if you're serious about studying, you have to make a commitment. Okay? I have made a commitment when I announced that we're going to have this class. My commitment is that I will be here, that I will prepare myself to teach the class, and I will do whatever I have to do to make it easy for you to learn. But all that is wasted in terms of you benefiting if you don't make a commitment yourself to do something. As far as me, it's not wasted because inshallah my attention is for the sake of Allah, I'm going to get my reward. But you're not going to get any benefit unless you also make a commitment. I have made my commitment, and now today I'm asking you to make a commitment. When you sign the when you filled out a registration form, that's the first form of commitment. You are saying, I intend to be here, to attend this class, to participate, to contribute towards it. Contribute meaning participate in the class. Participate in whatever we are doing in the class. Participate in whatever assignments we have outside the class. When you fill out that registration form, you're saying, I'm making a commitment, I'm going to be here. I'm going to come on time, I'm going to come regular, and I'm going to do the assignments in the class and outside of the class. I'm asking you to make a commitment. Alright? And these are some of the things that I expect of you. If you are willing to make that commitment, then I'm just letting you know what I expect. And inshallah, if there's something you expect of me, you can also tell me. No problem. The first thing I expect is for you to be here regularly, be regular in attendance. Unless somebody has a real emergency situation, it's unacceptable that you just don't come because I don't feel like coming today. That's unacceptable. If I have to be here, you also have to be here. I'm not getting paid and you're not paying. So we both have a commitment to each other. I have to be here, you have to be here. If you can't make it, you should let somebody know. You should give me a call or something and say, look, I'm not going to be able to make it. I had this emergency situation, I'm sick or something. No problem. But just, I just don't feel like coming today. There's a good movie on, there's the all-star basketball game, NFL football or whatever. I don't want to hear that. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. There's a parade or something, even the Muslim parade. That's not an excuse not to be here. Okay, if I have to be here, you have to be here. Alright? Second thing, I expect you to be on time, punctual. The appointment for this class is Salat. Okay, we made the appointment connected to Salat. The first, this class, book one, appointment for this class is Salatul Dhuhr. Expect you to be here, pray Salatul Dhuhr in Jama'ah. And the class starts immediately after the Salat, after we pray our Sunnahs. Okay, the second class is after Asr. Why is it Asr? People have to come for Salatul Asr in Jama'ah. And this is obligatory on the men anyway, to pray in Jama'ah. But the appointment for this class is the time of Salat. Even if the class is from 1:30 to 3:30, but the appointment is that you have to be here for Salat. So be punctual, be on time, make the Salat in Jama'ah, in congregation. That's obligatory upon men. Third thing is participating in the class. It's incumbent upon every student to participate in the class in some way. With reading, writing, asking questions, answering questions, everybody has to participate. The only way you're really going to benefit is that you participate. If you make mistakes, it's okay. That's how you learn. This is the learning process. This is the place where you learn it. But you have to participate. It's incumbent to participate. Don't just come here and sit here. Your body is here and your mind is somewhere else. We expect you to participate. Next thing. Whoever was here with us before, you know that we require that you do some work every day. We have class once a week. Once a week. Then we have 6 days, we don't have no class. What are we doing those 6 days? You have homework assignments. Homework assignments. The homework assignment that's very well known is to do the exercises that we had in that lesson. That's, if I don't say it, you already automatically know that. You have to do the exercises. The exercises in this book have to be written. Some of them just have to be read. Some of them, whatever. Whatever it calls for, you have to do it. Whoever says write, you gotta write. Huh? And even the ones that say read, it's better that you write them out for practicing your writing. It's better that you write them, even if it just says read. But the ones that say write, you have to write. Okay, because in this class, we're going to focus on reading and writing. We're going to focus on reading and writing. So it's incumbent upon you, the exercise that says write, you got to write. It's not just reading, it's also writing. So, every day, daily, 7 days a week, we expect you to do some work. At least half an hour, 30 minutes per day. 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening. Who can't do that? Or 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the middle of the day, 10 minutes in the night. Who can't do that? You can't put in 30 minutes a day and you're not really serious about this. It's okay, you can still come and sit in the corner if you like. But if you're serious, you have to do some work every day. We expect you to do work every day. Read the exercises, write the exercises. Even though we're concentrating on reading and writing, we have audio files for you to listen to. We have audio files for you to listen to. We expect you to listen to them. We expect you to listen to them daily so you can train your ear so that when you hear the spoken Arabic language, you understand what it is. With that being said, I want to also remind us that since we only have class once a week, then it's incumbent upon you to help each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Qur'an. It's obligatory. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Cooperate with one another in righteousness and piety. So it's incumbent upon us to help each other, to cooperate with one another, to visit one another, to call one another, to text one another, whatever kind of means of communication you have, use them. A brother is having trouble, another brother, try to help him. Sister is having trouble, another sister, try to help her. Give that sister a call. Read to her. Let her read to you. Let her ask you questions about some of the exercises they're having difficulty with. Help each other. This is something that we should be doing. Cooperating with one another in something that's good. This is something good. Help each other. Give your brother or give your sister. Brothers give the brothers. Sisters give the sisters a call, a visit, an email, a text message, whatever it is. We have all kinds of modern means of communication today. Use them. Help each other. Cooperate with one another during the week so that we don't go from one class to the next class and we didn't do nothing except in the classroom. Tayyib. Okay. Last two things, or three. The foundation of the Arabic language, especially, and probably every language, is based upon two things. Number one, the vocabulary words. And number two, the grammatical rules, especially in Arabic language. Grammatical rules are very important. But learning the grammar without having the without knowing the meaning of words is not going to help you. And learning the meaning of words without understanding the grammar is also not going to help you. But you have to put them together. You have to memorize the vocabulary words. You have to learn the grammatical rules. There's no escape from that. These are the two things that you have to do if you want to learn this language. Okay? So in terms of the vocabulary, I suggest that every single day of the week, of the month, of the year, that you learn at least one or two words. Every single day. Write those two words on a card, on a piece of paper, whatever. However you want to do it. Carry it with you and all day long, just learn those two words. And then the next day, add one or two more to them. And the next day, add one or two more to them. Review the ones you learned yesterday and focus on the ones you're learning for today. Every single day. If you don't do that, you're going to find after five or six or seven lessons that we have 100 words and you don't know them. You know 10 or 15. You don't understand what we're reading because you don't know the words. You don't know the vocabulary. So I'm saying from today, and I say from today because I already told you weeks ago, start memorizing the vocabulary for lesson one. I said that weeks ago. But now I'm saying from today, if you didn't memorize them, you didn't start yet, start today. Meaning today, memorize at least one or two words. The more you memorize every day, the better. Some days your mind is more focused, you can learn more. Then do more. If you have a good day where you're learning quick, memorize three or four words. Because there are going to be some days that you're not going to have a good time. That you're not going to do well, and you might not memorize one word. So you try to make up for that, try to balance it out by when you're having a good memory day, memorize as much as you can. But every day you need to memorize at least one or two words. The first lesson in this book, book one, has 24 vocabulary words. 24, that's a lot of words. Most of the chapters don't have that many words, but this one has 24. In order for you to learn them, I'm suggesting that if you learn at least two words every day, between this lesson and the second lesson only has four vocabulary words. So between the two lessons, there are 28 words. If you learn two a day, in 2 weeks you can learn 28 words. Two words a day. So I'm saying this lesson and the next lesson, if you combine them together, you could do all the vocabulary words. We do two words a day. Who can't learn two words a day? You can do it if you press yourself to do it. Like it's something urgent, it's important. But if you let it slip a day, two, three, before you know the week is gone, you don't have anything. And then you're trying to catch up, memorizing 10 words at one time. You can't do that. You make it easy on yourself. Memorize one or two words every day. Try to make two. If you can do three, alhamdulillah. But at least one. Don't let a day go by and learn a word. And keep track of yourself. And call your brother or call your sister and, you know, say, have you learned a word today? What words did you learn today? What did you learn today? Help each other. Remind each other. Call each other to account. This is very important. As far as the grammatical rules, we're going to go over them in the class. We're going to review them. You're going to find them in the dialogue in the beginning of every chapter. And we're going to also, you know, find them in the exercises. All the exercises designed to help you to remember the words and to learn and to apply the grammatical rules. Okay, so these are the two things that you really have to do. There's no escape from it. Memorizing the vocabulary and learning the grammatical rules. Last thing is the class format. The class format, some of you may already be familiar with our class format. Basically, it's going to be the same In the beginning of each class, normally we have a review of whatever we learned in the previous class. We're going to review it. Okay, so come prepared. Like, it's like an oral test. I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you, what did you remember? What did you learn? I'm going to ask you about specific things that we had in the last class. You know, we're not going to grade anybody, but it's like, you know, it's my way of knowing who has been studying, who hasn't been studying. Who's sleeping and who's awake. Okay? And then it's also, it helps you. So that something that we learned before doesn't escape from you, and if you missed the class, then you may catch some of it in the review. That's also a time for you to ask questions. In the beginning of each class, if when you were doing the exercise you had some problem, the beginning of the class when we review the last lesson, that's a chance for you to ask questions. I don't understand this, I don't understand that. Can you clarify this? Can you repeat that? That's your chance in the beginning of the class. After that, we're going to go to the book. And in the book, we're going to start with the key. The key. The key is the English in the back of the book that explains to you three things. Number one, explains you the grammatical points in that lesson. Number two, it gives you the English in translation of the exercises, what the exercises require. What each exercise is telling you, do this or do that, translation of the exercises in the back of the book. And the third thing, it gives you the meaning of the vocabulary words. So it's the key, alaykum salam, the key in the back of the book, the English key, is your help and your aid. When you're not in the classroom and you don't have anybody else that you can ask, you go back there, you can read the grammatical rules and the explanation. You can read the translation of the exercises, what each exercise requires you to do. And you can also get the meaning of the vocabulary words that you don't know. Okay, so the key is very important. We're going to start with that. We're going to go over the grammatical rules. We're going to go over the vocabulary. And after that, we're going to read the dialogue, which is the text in the beginning of the chapter. After that, we're going to go to the Arabic text of the book and read the dialogue. Usually, we'll ask different people to help to read. At least two people will normally be reading. And then also, when we're reading it, I'll be explaining the grammatical rules again. We'll explain them from the key. And then as we read the dialogue, I'll also explain different points that came in the dialogue that are the grammatical points that we have to learn for that lesson. It's incumbent upon you to read the lesson before you come to class. Is there anybody that did not receive an email, that registered and did not receive an email? Because everybody who registered, who gave me a registration form, I sent the email out with the vocabulary bank and the text of the book and the English key. Now, you didn't register?
I registered.
Was there an email address on the registration form? And you didn't receive any email? Oh, you wasn't looking for it. Okay. Because whoever I had the registration form for, I sent the email. With all of the things that you need for this class. The text of the book online, the English key for the book online, and the vocabulary bank, which has the vocabulary for each chapter, chapter by chapter. And also the audio files with the audio reading of the vocabulary words for each chapter so that you can listen to them. Now, you didn't register. Okay, let me get you a registration form. Okay, and also, sisters, if there's any sister that didn't register that's here for the class, this sister has registration forms in the sister's area. Just fill this out. It doesn't require much. Just print clearly your name, your email address, and telephone is optional. And just check off which level. Okay, in this case, it would be level one. But if somebody wants to attend both classes, it's permissible to attend both classes. Some people in the book two class, they might want to sit in the book one class. That's okay, no problem. So all you have to do is print clearly your name, your email address, your telephone is optional, and just check book one or book two or both of them. Now, I'll survive, inshallah. Allah will start. Tayyib. Okay, so also, this is the format. This is the general format of the class. Okay, we're going to start with review. We'll summarize the rules and the vocabulary for the new lesson. We'll read the dialogue, and then we'll do the exercises. After we read the dialogue, we'll do the exercises orally. And you have to write them when you go back home. We're going to do them in class orally, but you have to write them out when you go back home. Alright? There are a couple other things that we'll probably be doing in this class, but Allah knows best how much of it we'll have time to do. But we will be continuing with those who were with us before and those who are new. We will start with you to go over the use of the dictionary. How to use the dictionary. How to use the Arabic dictionary. The other thing that we'll be going over is some of the rules of Tajweed. There's a little bit of time at the end of this class before the time for Asr. So we will also probably be, you know, as time, depending on the amount of time that we have, we'll be trying to go back and review some of the rules of Tajweed, especially Noon Sakinah and Tanween, and any other rules that we may need to help us in our reading of Quran. And the last thing that we're going to be doing in this class, inshallah, whenever we have time, and this is something that you should love a lot, and will help you tremendously, and that is Al-Imla, Al-Imla. Okay? Does anybody know what is Al-Imla? Anybody know what's Imla? This is one of our favorite activities. Huh? Imla, naam, dictation. Dictation. Dictation means what? That somebody will speak and you will write what you hear. I will say a word or words or a sentence and you have to write it from what you hear without seeing anything. Okay? I will speak and you will listen and write. Okay? This is very important because it trains your ear to comprehend what you hear in Arabic language, and it also trains you to be able to write, and you have to be able to write. That's very important. And writing the exercises in the book help you to be able to write. But listening to the audio files will help you to be able to recognize what you hear. So in the class, mostly we're going to be looking and reading what we see. But when you go home, you have to listen to the audio files so that you can begin to comprehend what you hear. And you have to write the exercises so you'll be able to write what you hear. Okay, so dictation, inshallah, whenever we have a chance, we're going to try to do dictation. So start practicing listening and practicing writing as much as you can on your own time. Okay, that's what I have to say. This is what I expect of you. And now, if there's any questions or what do you expect from me? You have your chance now. What do you expect from me? What do you expect in this class? What do you think we're going to be doing? What do you hope we're going to be doing? What would you like to see happen? This is your chance, quickly. Now.
From the letters, how they sound or whatever, I was in class with you, so I see that y'all advanced. This is the advanced class, you know, the first class you've given, so where did I go from there?
Try to catch up, inshallah. Go back to that book and finish wherever you left off at. I mean, you can sit in the class, you know. I mean, I don't know how far you went, but I mean, you know, this is not advanced. This is the intermediate class. This book one is the intermediate class. The class that we had before, that's the beginner's class, is learning the alphabets, reading and writing the alphabets, vowels, long vowels, short vowels, diphthong, shadda, all of that. That's the beginning level one class. This is level two class, intermediate class. And the advanced class is level three, that's the book two class. Okay, so now we have book one and book two, intermediate and advanced. This is the intermediate class, and after Asr is the advanced class. Okay, so now we're going to be doing book one. Inshallah, some of the brothers can help you if you'd like to go back to that book. And the free time after the class is over, up until Asr, we have some time. Inshallah, you can get some help. You know, coming to the masjid also, you can get some help. During the week, brothers are here. Calling, you can get some help. There's a lot of ways to get some help. Inshallah, some of the brothers will help you. There are quite a few brothers here, mashallah, who finished that class. And some who also actually finished the book one class. They already finished book one, so they can help, inshallah. All right, anything else? Anybody else have a question? Comment? Recommendation? Suggestion? Naam.
Okay, I have an app for my phone.
Naam.
Whatever I want to say, I type it in English. But since it says in Arabic, can I rely on those apps?
I don't know if you can rely upon them, but I doubt it. An app on your telephone that you say,
yeah, I type
you type what you want to say, and then it comes out in Arabic, and it says it also. I mean, I'm sure it's probably of some help, but whether or not you can rely upon it, I don't know about that. That depends on how sophisticated it is, how advanced it is. Some of those, like you can see on the internet sometimes, you open up a website, and it says, do you want to translate this in Arabic? You press yes, and then when you see what they wrote on the Arabic, it's nonsense. That's useless. But maybe your app might be better than that. I know that those stuff that they have on the internet is useless. That stuff, the way they translate it, it's like you're talking about something completely different from another planet. It has nothing to do with what's there. Okay, so, you know, I'm just saying that some of them may be better than others, no doubt. Some of it is more advanced than others. So if yours is a good one, then inshallah benefit from it, you know. Try it at least. I'm sure it's going to be of some help, no doubt. But how reliable it is, that I can't say. I have to see it. You know, you can demonstrate one day when we have break time. You show it to us, we try it and see how accurate it is. If it's accurate, alhamdulillah, mashallah, everybody needs to get it. Tayyib, anybody else? Any comment, question, suggestion before we go on to the lesson? Naam. Tayyib, okay. It's incumbent that you have a book. If you don't have a book, then you can download the book from the link that we sent out. You can download the book, this Medina Book 1. So on the internet, you can download it free. The key, the English key, you can download it free. The audio files, we can send them to you. They're not on the internet, but we have them. One of the brothers, mashallah, from our class, prepared it for us, so we can send it to you. That's that's for the vocabulary words, the audio bank on the audio file. The vocabulary bank on audio file. And then the audio for the book is in Arabic and English, and it's also in all Arabic. We can send you the link. We already sent it out to those who previously registered. And you should be listening to that as much as you can. As much as you can, inshallah. Any other question? Tayyib. Okay, let's open the book to lesson one now. The book one costs $12. Costs $12. And I think book two is $16. And we picked up a few copies that's here at the masjid, on the expense of the masjid. If anybody would like to get it from the masjid without any extra charge, without having to go all the way downtown somewhere to find it, then we have a few copies here. Okay. Is there anybody that doesn't have a book right now? Alright, I'll give you one of these here, right? This is just the main dialogue from the beginning of the book. One, two. Anybody else does not have a book with them right now? Okay. I gave him one for you. Alright, let's begin. Let us begin. Okay, so I know I said a lot of things, but does anybody remember what we're going to start with? What are we going to start the class with? Bismillah. Huh? Bismillah. We said Bismillah already. Now, what's our class format? What's the first thing that we do? First thing to do is review the last class. Okay, we don't have a last class. We're starting today. Okay, so after that, what do we do? Huh? We go to the key. Okay, the key, grammatical rules and the vocabulary in the key. Okay, so the key is in some books, in this one right here, it's in the back of the book. The English key is in the back of the book. Okay, so you go to the back of the book and look for the English key. English key, page one of the English key in the back of the book, where it's all English. You just go all the way to the back of the book until it becomes all English. Okay, what page is that? It's page one, right? But it's page one in the English part. Yeah, we're going to look at what lesson one consists of. What are we going to be required to know from lesson one? Okay, what are we required to know from lesson one? In terms of grammatical rules, in terms of vocabulary, what are we required to know? Okay, after we do that, then we're going to read the Arabic text from the book, the dialogue. We're going to read the Arabic text from the book, the dialogue, and then after that we're going to do the exercises orally. Okay, today there's no review from the previous class, but today we just had introduction, right? After that, we're going to do what? We're going to go to the key first. We're going to read the key. Then after that, we're going to do what? We're going to read the dialogue, the text in the beginning of the book. And then after that, we're going to do the exercises orally. That's basically the format that we're going to have. Next week, inshallah, we'll have review. This week, we don't have any review. All right? If you already read the key to lesson one, and when you read it, you didn't understand something, when we're going through it, this is your chance to ask questions, okay? I'm going to explain what we're going to be doing in this lesson from this key, okay? Basically, in the key that we have today in this lesson one, basically, we have about 8 points. Okay, we're going to go over them a little bit. And as I already mentioned, we have 24 vocabulary words. We're going to just look at them quickly, and then we're going to go through them when we're reading the text. And then we have about 6 exercises. six exercises that we're going to do today. As far as those 8 points, one of the things that we have, the main thing we have is the word hadha. Hadha. The word hadha, which means this or this is. Okay, because in a nominal sentence, there's no word that means is. So if you say hadha, this means this is. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing, we're going to have a question. Ma hadha? Ma hadha? Okay, we have a question. Ma hadha? What is this? We're going to come to this, okay? I'm just trying to give you just a summary of what we're going to be doing. Another question we have is man hadha? Man hadha? Okay, so far we have what? We have hadha, hadha, this or this is. Then we have ma hadha, what is this? And we have man hadha, who is this? What's the difference between ma hadha and man hadha? What's the difference between ma hadha and man hadha? Ma hadha means what is this? And man hadha means who is this? So what's the difference between ma hadha and man hadha? Ma hadha is used when you're asking about things. What is this? Man hadha is used when you're asking about people. Who is this? Okay? So ma hadha, when you're asking about a chair, ma hadha. You're asking about a desk, ma hadha. If you're asking about a person, you say man hadha. Who is this? Okay? And then we also have ahadha. Ahadha. Ahadha is this. Is this. Yani, is this a chair? Ahadha kursiyun, is this a chair? Ahadha babun, is this a door? Ahadha baytun, is this a house? Okay, so we have three kind of questions here. Mahadha, what is this? Manhadha, who is this? And this one, you might have an idea of what something is, but you're not sure. You say, is this? Is this a chair? You're not really sure. If you don't have an idea, you just say, mahadha, what is this? But if you have an idea, I think this is a pen. Ahadha qalamun, is this a pen? You're not really sure. Okay, so we have three type of questions that we're going to have. That's the main thing that we're going to do in this lesson. Okay, there's also some answers where you're going to say yes, yani, to something. Somebody says, is this a door? You're going to say, na'am, yes. Or you're going to say, la, no. Okay, is this a chair? Na'am, this is a chair. Is this a chair? La, no, this is not a chair. Okay, so these are like the type of answers that you're going to give when you ask a question where a person is uncertain. Where the answer is yes or no, you're going to say na'am or la. Okay, so this is sort of a summary of what this lesson actually deals with. Okay, in the key, everything is explained in a little bit more detail. This is just a summary, so you have an idea of what we're going to be covering. Okay, now I'm going to read to you. You must read this key as much as you need to until you understand everything that's in there. You must understand everything that's in this key. You have to understand the grammatical rules in here. You have to understand the vocabulary that's in here. Okay, so if you have to read it 10 times, don't worry about it. Just keep reading it until you get it. Ask questions if you don't understand. In the next class, come back and say, I read the key, and point number 2, I don't know what it means. I don't understand it at all. Then we'll explain it again. No problem. But if you don't understand something, you have to ask. Prior to coming to class, you should have read the lesson. You have read the key, and you should have read the dialogue, the text in the beginning of the lesson. And if you have time, you should try to do some of the exercises so you get ahead of yourself. Always try to stay ahead. So when you come to class, you won't be looking at it for the first time. And it's foreign to you. So why don't you understand this? You had a chance before you came to class to look at it, to read it, to understand it, to ask about it. Call somebody, text somebody, come to the masjid and bring it with you and ask one of the brothers, what's this? Okay, so when you come to class, you don't start at zero. One of my teachers, he told us, and I always say this because I benefited so much from this advice, he said, never come to class knowing that you're going to be doing lesson 5 and you haven't even read it before. Read it first before you come to class. And that way, you will say, wow, some of this I understand already. And some of it I don't. Stuff you already understand, you're good. You don't got to worry about that. What you want to highlight is the things you don't understand. So when you go to class, when the teacher gets to that point you couldn't understand, you're going to focus more than you normally focus. You're going to make sure you get that one. You're not going to daydream. Okay, because sometimes we sit in the class for 2 hours. It's too long. 2 hours. Nobody can focus for 2 hours. So sometimes we we go out and we come in, huh? We start daydreaming or sleeping or thinking about something else that's very important right now. I don't know what it is. But I know when I look in your face, I see something's wrong. I know you're not with me. And I look around, I look in your face, and I say, that brother's not here. He's somewhere else. Okay, so try to stay focused as much as you can, especially if we're going over a point that you didn't understand when you read it at home. Okay, from the top of the page, lesson one, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this lesson, we learn the following things. Number one, what is this? Okay, you can see on the right side of the page in Arabic, it says, Ma hadha. Okay, ma hadha. This hadha, this word hadha, is actually pronounced like this, with an aleph. Ha tha, with two long vowels. Ha tha. That's the way it's pronounced. But it's not written with this aleph here. This aleph is not written in the word. But it has to be pronounced, okay? So make a note that this is one of the words in Arabic language that has a letter which is pronounced, though it's not written. And we learned that in the last 10 lessons from level 1 class, last 10 lessons of the primer book. We learned that there are words in Arabic sometimes that have letters which are pronounced, but they're not written. So you have to know that. That even though there's no aleph, this aleph is not written in this word, but you have to pronounce it. Don't say ma hadha. It's not hadha, it's hadha. Ma hadha. Okay, so that's important for you to know. Alright, so the first thing we have in this lesson, we have ma hadha. What is this? You want to ask about anything, not people, things. You can say ma hadha. Ma hadha. Huh? Ma hadha. Ma hadha. Whatever you want to point to, you can say ma hadha. Ma hadha. Except if the thing is feminine, you have to say ma hadhihi. But we'll come to hadhihi later. Okay? But hadha is used for masculine things. Masculine singular. Things. Not people. Okay, after that we have second sentence in English. This is a book. In Arabic on the right side of the page. Hadha kitabun. Hadha kitabun. Notice that the word kitabun has one long vowel in it, right? What's the long vowel in the word kitabun? Which long vowel is it? Huh? Aleph. Kitabun. Huh? Ta, fatta, aleph. That's the long vowel. Kitabun. Okay, number... The third sentence. Is, in English, is this a house? In Arabic, ahadha baytun. Notice, I remember I said we have mahadha, we have menhadha, and we have ahadha. Ahadha. Here we have ahadha baytun. Bait means what? House. Ahadha baytun, is this a house? Ahadha baytun, is this a house? Okay, make a note, right? That anytime you have a sentence, like you have this sentence here, right? That we just read. Hadha baytun. Hadha baytun. That's a statement. This is, hadha means this is, baytun means a house, right? This is a house. If you put this letter here, hamza with fatha, in front of that statement, it turns it into a what? Question. From a statement, it becomes a question, just by putting what? Hamza. That's called hamza til istifham. The hamza that's written on top of an aleph with a fatha, that turns a statement into a question. So if somebody said to you, for example, if somebody said, Hadha qalamun. Hadha qalamun. This is a pen. Suppose you didn't know what this is, but you think it's a pen. It looks like a pen, but I'm not really sure. So you want to ask, is it a pen? You would say what? Instead of saying, Hadha qalamun, that's a statement, you would ask a question, just put hamza in front of it. Ahadha qalamun? Ahadha qalamun? Now it became a question. Is this a pen? Now.
You see how it says, is this a house, right? In Arabic,
How is it translated to is? Because this is a statement, right? First, Hadha Baytun. Hadha Baytun. That's a statement, right? Hadha Baytun. That's a statement. Whenever you use Hamza, this letter here, this Hamza with Fatha, it's called Hamzatul Istifham. Means the Hamza that is used to make a question. Okay, whenever you put that in front of a statement, it becomes a question. Instead of this is a house, it becomes is this a house? How did it become is this a house? Because that this letter makes a statement into a question.
So see how you have is, how's that translate to, I know that's Aleph is A, right?
No. Aleph is not A. This Aleph, I don't know if you were here in the previous class, but this Aleph is a seat for Hamza. It doesn't count. Okay, Hamza, the letter Hamza, this letter Hamza, pay attention, brothers. Because this is something that you're already supposed to know. Okay? This Hamza right here is sometimes written on Aleph. It's sometimes written on Wow. It's sometimes written on Ya. That Aleph, that Wow and that Ya is a seat for Hamza. It doesn't count. We don't read it, we don't pronounce it, it has no meaning whatsoever. The letter here is the Hamza. As far as this Ya, Wow, and Aleph, it doesn't count. It has no meaning to us. It's just a seat for Hamza. Okay? So we're not talking about Aleph here, we're talking about Hamza. Hamza with Fatha, whether it's written on any, it doesn't matter. Hamza with Fatha, in the beginning of a sentence, is going to be written on Aleph all the time. When Hamza is written with a Fatha, it changes a statement into a question. The statement is, this is a house. That's the meaning of this, we said. This is a house. If you want to make this is a house into a question, what can you say except, is this a house? If you want to ask a question in English, if you want to make a statement, you say, this is. If you want to ask a question, you say, is this? It makes it into a question. It's not a matter of translating, Hamza is translated as is. No, Hamza is not translated as is. Hamza makes a statement into a question. Okay? There's no translation for Hamza. It's just a letter that's used to form a question. It doesn't have any translation. Naam,
akhi. Somebody,
he was able to explain it in the beginning. Okay, let's go on, inshallah. Let's go on. The main thing, actually, what you need to understand is, when you have a statement, when you use Hamza to istifham, it becomes a question. That's what really you need to understand. It becomes a question. How do you form a question in English? If you're asking about something you're not sure about, you say, is this? Is this the man you're talking about? Is this the place you sent me to? Is this a such and such and so and so? That's how you speak in English. You say, is this? Naam. Okay? Inshallah, it'll become a little bit more clear as we go along. Okay, the main thing here is that, as the brother mentioned, I already said before, that is, in a nominal sentence, a sentence that begins with a noun, is, the word is, there's no Arabic word for is, in that kind of sentence. In a verbal sentence, yes, there's a word for is, but not in a nominal sentence. Nominal sentence means a sentence that begins with a noun instead of a verb. It doesn't begin with a verb, it begins with a noun. In that kind of sentence, there's no is. It's understood. That's why I said here, I said, hadha means what? It means this, or I put in parenthesis what? Is. Is understood. Okay, that's what I wrote here. This is. Hadha means this, or this is. In a sentence, the is understood. And likewise, you can say here, I guess we should mention now, inshallah we'll come to this, In a noun, a word that has tanween, two dhammas or two fathas or two kasras, whenever a noun has tanween, that's the indefinite article. Means that something is indefinite. It means a door, a house, a man. Okay? So we're not going to see a word that says a also, but rather we're going to see what? Two vowels at the end of the word. That means a. Okay, so if you have babun, bab means door. Babun with two vowels on the end means a door. Kitab means book with two dhammas, two vowels on the end. Kitabun means a book. Okay, so these are things that are understood. That the tanwin at the end of the word, it means a. It means it's indefinite. Most of the time. But not in every case, but most of the time. Okay, and the is also understood in a nominal sentence. In a verbal sentence, actually we will use a verb. The verb kana yakunu. But that's beyond where we're at right now. We don't need to worry about that. Okay, after that we have ahadha baytun. The fourth sentence, yes, this is a house. So we have the word na'am that we wrote here. Yes, na'am. Noon fatta ayn fatta meem. Na'am. Na'am, that means yes. Is this a house? Na'am. Hadha baytun. Na'am. Hadha baytun. Yes, this is a house. On the contrary, if it wasn't a house that the person was pointing to, suppose they were pointing to a masjid and they say, Ahadha baytun, is this a house? Then you're not going to say, Naam, this is a house. You're going to say what? La. No. Hadha masjidun. This is a masjid. Okay, so in that case we use this word. Lam, fatta, alif. Lam with fatta. Fatta is elongated by alif. La. That means no. Alright? No. So either you're going to answer yes, or you're going to answer no. Yes, this is a house. Or no, this is a masjid. In the last sentence, who is this? Men hadha. Men hadha is used for asking about what? Men is used for asking about what? People. Ma is used for asking about things. And men is used asking about people. Men hadha. Okay? If it was a female, you would say men, but you won't say hadha, you'll say men, hadhihi. Okay, but that's, we'll come to that later, inshallah. Okay, in the notes on the bottom of the page, the second half of the page, it says note. This word, number one, hadha is pronounced hadha with a long vowel, fatta alif. It's pronounced hadha. But it is written without the first alif. But it's written without this aleph, like this. It's written without this first aleph. Okay, this is how it's written. This is how it's pronounced. It's pronounced as two long vowels. Hadha. Point number two. Arabic has no word corresponding to English is. That is, Arabic has no copula. Meaning, Arabic has no word corresponding to English is in nominal sentences. Sentence that begins with a noun. In verbal sentences, sentences that begin with a verb, you have is in Arabic. But he's talking about here what? There's no word for is in Arabic in nominal sentences. Because that's what we're talking about here, nominal sentences. We're only talking about sentences that begin with a noun. We're not going to verbs. Verbs is beyond us right now. We're not talking about verbs. So it's understood that this statement, there's no word for is in Arabic language, means in a nominal sentence. Sentence that begins with a noun. As far as verbal sentence, yes, there's the verb to be. A noun. A noun is the name of a person, place, or thing. In English, that's how they say it. Or concept. Or concept, an idea, thought, naam. Name of a person, place, or something. Okay, the name of something. A verb is the action word that indicates action. Like running, walking, jumping, eating, fighting, sitting, action. You're doing something. That's a verb. A noun doesn't indicate action. Okay? It's just the name of something. What is this thing called? This is called a chair. This is called a street light. This is called a book. This is called whatever, a pan. Okay, that's the name of a thing, a person. This is called a doctor, engineer, sanitation worker. Allahu musta'an. Naam. Point number three. There's no word in Arabic corresponding to A in English, as in this is a book. We're not going to say this is a book. We're just going to say the word book and put tanween on it. Two dhammas or two kasras or two fattas. The end sound at the end of the Arabic word, kitabun, that end sound, baytun, masjidun, is the Arabic indefinite article. Okay, what do we mean by indefinite article? That which corresponds to the English A or N. The N sound is called tanween. This double vowel on the end of the word is called tanween. Whether it's two dhammas, or two fathas, or two kasras, it's called tanween. It's the indefinite article. What do we mean indefinite article? Indefinite article means that that word is not specific. It's general. A house, a masjid, a person. Definite means specific. The house, the person, the masjid. Okay, when you're being specific, if you say, where's the masjid? I mean, you're talking about a particular masjid. If a brother walks in and says, I want to go to the masjid. You get the idea he's talking about a particular masjid. If he says, I want to go to a masjid, you can send him anywhere. But if he says, I want to go to the masjid, then he must be talking about the sacred masjid in Mecca, right? The masjid. That's the masjid. Unless you're here in Brooklyn and you say, I want to go to the masjid, you mean Masjid Ikhwa, inshallah. All right. Especially if you're talking to Khalid. If you say, I want to go to the masjid, you got to be talking about Masjid Ikhwa. You're not talking about no place else. Khalid sits in the masjid, mashallah. Keeping the doors open from the morning until night. Huh? Okay, so the, now may Allah reward him. And keep him firm and make his affairs easy for him. Ameen, Ya Rab. Definite means you're talking about something specific. Okay, if you were already talking about a certain subject, and you're saying, you know, you were talking about a certain book, you want to get this book, The Explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, translated into English, The Explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. Huh? And we were talking about that, and it is translated into English, and it's available now. And then somebody said, I'm going to get the book. I'm going to get that book. He's talking about something specific. But if we just say, you know, I'm going out to the bookstore today and pick up a book. A book. That's indefinite. No specific book. Just a book. But if you say, I want to get the book, then that means he's talking about something specific. Okay, so indefinite article means when you're talking about something in general. Any one of them. Definite means when you're talking about something specific, particular. Okay. Point number four. That's the last point here. The particle, the aleph, as a seat for Hamza. Okay, the particle, Hamza. Hamza with fatha. Okay, that's a harf. This particle, the Hamza, that we see here written on top of an aleph, and the aleph we don't care about. We're concerned about the Hamza with the fatha. The particle, Hamza, with fatha, placed at the beginning of a statement, turns it into a question. For example, هَذَا بَيْتٌ, that's a statement, this is a house, becomes a question. أَهَذَا بَيْتٌ, is this a house? This is a house, is this a house? This is a chair, is this a chair? Huh? This is an apple, is this an apple? Okay, so the Hamza with Fatha, that's written on top of an aleph as a seat for it, if it's placed in the beginning of a sentence, in the beginning of a statement, it becomes a question. Turns it into a question. Okay, so the main thing from this, the points that in this lesson, and there are five points and three notes, one, two, and three, or four notes at the bottom. The main thing is that there are three types of questions that we have here. When you're asking about a thing, you say, ma hadha. When you're asking about a person, you say, men hadha. When you're not sure about something, you want to ask, is it something that you're not sure about? You say, ahadha. Is this such and such and so and so? Ahadha. And your answer to that question is going to either be yes or no. Naam, yes, this is a book. Or it's going to be, la, no. This is what? A newspaper. This is not a book, this is a newspaper. Alright? This is what we are covering in this lesson. Alhamdulillah, as I said, it's not anything in this lesson that's very difficult, but there are a lot of vocabulary words. So we just want to look at the vocabulary words quickly. Okay, you can help me to read the vocabulary words. Who wants to read? Okay, we're going to start from the top of the page, from the right-hand side, okay, because we always read from right to left, right? But we're going to read the right column straight down. And then we're going to go to the left column and read the left column straight down, okay? Pay attention to the words, look at them, make sure you are seeing the same thing that we are hearing. Okay? Okay, we're going to start with Ahmed. Naam, Ahmed. Ahmed, you give us a couple of words. Read the first one. From the right column, top of the page, we're going to go straight down. Go ahead. Waladun means what? Boy. Now, next one. Talibun. Talibun means what? Student. Next word. Rajulun. Rajulun means what? A man. Next word. Tajirun. Tajirun means what? A merchant. Okay, Jamil. Read the next few words. Jamil. Loud and clear. Slow, loud and clear. We're still on the right column, reading from top to bottom. He read the first four words. Read the fifth word. Loud. I can't hear you. Huh? Kelbun means what? A dog. Next word. With kesra. Qattun. Qattun. Qaf, kesra, ta, wa shadda. Two thaws. Shadda means double ta. Qattun. A cat. Next word. Himarun means what? A donkey. Next word. Hisanun. Hisanun means what? A horse. Okay, somebody else read. Somebody else read. Naam. Next word. Jamalun means what? A camel. D, that's a sukun on the, yeah, D, okay, no fatelo, D, kun, D, kun, means a rooster. Next word, good. Mudarrisun. Mudarrisun. With shadda on the ra. Mudarrisun. Notice that the vowel on the ra is underneath the shadda. Whenever the vowel is underneath the shadda, that means it's kasra. Even though it's above the letter. You know the rule is, right, in the vowels, if the vowel is above the letter, that's fatha. If it's below the letter, it's kasra. But with a word that has shadda, if the vowel is above the shadda, it's fatha. If it's below the shadda, it's kasra. Even though it's above the letter, it's below the shadda. What counts here is not the letter of the shadda. A letter has shadda. If the vowel is above it, it's fatha. If it's below it, it's kasra. So this word is mudarrisun with kasra. Mudarrisun, a teacher. And the last word? Mindilun. Okay, there's a long vowel here. Mindilun. Which means a kerchief or handkerchief. Okay, somebody else read. Somebody else read. Naam. Abdul Karim. Baytun, which means a house. Baytun, naam. There's a diphthong in this word. Pay attention, brother. There's a diphthong in this word. Ba, fatta, ya, with sukoon. Fatta, the fatta followed by ya with sukoon. That's a diphthong, a combination of two different vowel sounds. Baytun, a house. Naam, next word.
Masjidun.
Masjidun, a mosque. Naam. Babun. There's a long vowel on the first syllable. Babun. A door. Naam.
Kitabun.
Kitabun. There's a long vowel on the second syllable. Kitabun. Book. Naam.
Qalamun.
Qalamun. Two short vowels with a qaf, not kaf. Qa. Qalamun. Qalamun. A pen. Naam. Miftahun. Miftahun. Okay? Look, notice there's a sukoon to make one syllable, mif. The fa is joined with the meme with kesra because it has sukoon. Whenever you see a sukoon, join it to the previous syllable. So you have mif, ta, long vowel, fatta alif, hun, that's the letter, ha, miftahun, which means a key. Okay, somebody else read. Naam, Shakur, Abdul Shakur. Maktabun, maktabun, naam, a writing table or desk.
Sarirun. Sarirun. A second syllable has a long vowel. Sarirun. A bed. Naam. Kursiyun. With a shadda on the ya. That means the kasra is elongated. Kursi. And then another ya. Yun. Kursiyun. A chair. Naam. Najmun. A star. Okay, somebody else read. Naam. Qamisun, a shirt. Qamisun, there's a long vowel in the second syllable. Qamisun, with sad. Qamisun, nam. Again, that's a tha. That's tha. Tabibun, that's tha. Second syllable has a long vowel. Tabibun, a doctor. Qamisun, a shirt. Okay, I just want to make a quick note concerning this vocabulary. If you go back, to the first column on the right side of the page, right? First column on the right side of the page. Notice the first four words. Waladun, talibun, rajulun, and tajirun. These four words are all, what do they have in common? They are nouns that are used for people. Go to the bottom of the second column. There's one more word that should be added to them. What is it? Tabibun, doctor. These five words, along with the next to the last word on the same, on the first column. Column A, there's one word next to the last word in the right side. What is it? Teacher, mudarrisun. These are six words that are all related to people. The first four words in the right column. Waladun, talibun, rajulun, tajirun. Next to the last word on the bottom of that column. Mudarrisun. And the last word on the left column, Tabibun. These are six words in this chapter that are all related to people. There are also six nouns that are related to animals. After the first four words in column A, the first four words, Waladun, Talibun, Rajulun, Tajirun. There are six words. These six words are all related to what? Animals. Kalbun, a dog. Qittun, a cat. Himarun, donkey. Hisanun, horse. Jamalun, a camel. Dikun, rooster. So there are six words that are nouns for animals, and there are six words that are nouns for people, and then there are 12 more words to make up the 24, which are things. So in this lesson, you have 12 nouns that are related to things, you have six nouns that are related to animals, and six nouns related to people. So as you memorize your vocabulary, keep that in mind. I want to memorize these six words that's related to people. I want to memorize these six words that's related to animals. I want to make sure I got 12 words related to things. These are 24 words you got to learn in this chapter. If you associate words with other words, it helps you to learn them. So you associate mudarris with talib, teacher with student, right? You associate, for example, rajulun with waladun, a man with a boy, and things like this. Try to associate words as you're learning them, so that it helps you to remember them. Okay? Try to associate the nouns that are related to people, and try to associate nouns related to animals. And try to associate other things, like things in the room, like a chair and a desk, a house and a door, and the key in the door. Things like this. Try to associate words that are related to each other. This helps you to memorize your vocabulary words. Okay? That's the end of the vocabulary, and it's the end of the rules. Now we're going to read the text, inshallah. Again, as I said before, it's incumbent upon you to start memorizing these words, at least one or two words per day. If you can do two, alhamdulillah, that would be excellent. If you can do two. Okay, now we'll go to page 5. In the beginning of the Arabic text of the book, it's on page 5. In the main text that we are using, Arabic text. We already went over the vocabulary, so you have some idea what some of these words mean. And we went over the points that you should learn from this lesson. Ma hadha, men hadha, ahadha. So you know about these things that are used for asking questions. You know how you answer a question. Ahadha kursiyun. Is this a chair? You're either going to say, na'am. Na'am, this is a chair. Or you're going to say, la. No, this is not a chair. This is something else. All right? We're going to do as many of the exercises as we can, inshallah. And if we don't finish, then we'll finish in the next class. But we're going to try to finish today. All right. One of the things that you have to keep in mind, right? As we go through this book, this is one of our rules, that you must read everything that's there. If you read a word, I want to hear every vowel. If it's a long vowel, I want to hear it elongated. If it's short, I want to hear it short. If there's tanween at the end of a word, I want to hear the tanween. What is tanween? Double vowel at the end of the word. Two dhammas, two kasras, two fathas. There's a tanween, I want to hear the tanween. Okay? In Arabic speech, you don't pronounce the last vowel on the end of the word if you stop on it. If you pause in the middle of a sentence, you stop on the word, you don't pronounce the vowel on the end. But in here, when we're reading, I want to hear everything. I want to hear the vowels, because the vowels on the end of the word are going to determine the grammatical position of a word in the sentence. And it's important to know if a word ends with kasra, or ends with dhamma, or ends with fatha. Because this would tell you that this word is the subject, is the object of the preposition, or it's the object of the verb, or it's the subject of the sentence. The vowel ending will tell you that. It will help you to understand what is the meaning of the sentence. So the vowels at the end are very important for us at this level. It's incumbent for us to read the vowels at the end of the sentence.
Even though not now, you will understand what a preposition is.
Yeah, of course, we will get to that. When we get to the lesson that deals with prepositions, then we'll talk about prepositions. We didn't get there yet. For now, all the words are going to end with dhamma. All the words we're going to read now are going to end with dhamma. But when we get to prepositions, then we're going to start seeing words ending with kasra. When we get to verbs, we're going to see words ending with fatha. Okay, but that's like beyond us at this moment. Okay, everything right now is with dhamma. But I want to hear the vowel anyway, because we want to get in the habit of doing so. Okay? Everybody should try to participate. Okay? We're going to read always from right to left. Okay? So now we're going to read across the page from right to left. When we get to the end, we're going to go to the next line and read from right to left. Then we go down to the bottom of the page, we're going to read from right to left. Okay, who wants to read the first sentence? Naam. Okay, let me see. Where are you at? No, before that. No, you skipped a little bit. Go back. That's the third exercise. We're beginning right here. Okay, I'm going to read on the top of the page. It says, Ad-darsu al-awwalu. Ad-darsu al-awwalu. Who knows what that means? No, ad-dars means what? Okay, ad-darsu al-awwalu, it means the first lesson. When we get to the next lesson, you're going to see ad-dars al-thani. Ad-darsu al-thani. That means the second lesson. These words here, you also got to learn them. You got to learn the meaning of the word ad-dars. Ad-dars means the lesson. Okay, you have to learn that. Everything in the page, you should have to learn. Ad-dars. Ad-darsu al-awwalu. Ad-darsu al-awwal. Ad-dars means the lesson. Because it has alif lam, that means it's definite. The lesson. And al-awwalu means the first. So together it means what? The first lesson. Okay, you have to learn these words. When we get to the next lesson, we're going to have ad-dars again. Ad-darsu al-thani. You got to know the word thani means the second. Ad-darsu al-thalithu. You got to learn that word. Al-thalithu means the third. So by the time we get to the tenth lesson, you will know the ordinal numbers in Arabic. Al-awwalu wa-thani, al-thalith, al-rabi, al-khamis, al-sadis, al-sabi, al-thami, al-thasi, al-ashu. You know them by then. Just by every time you learn a lesson, learn one of the numbers. Okay? In the meanwhile, also, you should be learning the Arabic regular, the cardinal numbers. واحد, اثنان, ثلاثة, أربعة, خمسة, ستة, سبعة, ثمانية, تسعة, عشرة. You should be learning those numbers. So when I say go to page 6, you know what 6 looks like. Huh? When I say go to page 7, you know what 7 looks like. Because the page numbers in the book are written in Arabic. So you should know this is 1, this is 2, this is 3, this is 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Actually, I asked you to learn the numbers when we were in level 1 class. Some people didn't learn them. So now I'll give you another shot. Huh? Allah give us so many chances, right? وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah pardons much. So we're going to let you pass on that one. طيب. Okay, who read the first word? Who read the first sentence? Who read the first one? You read the first sentence?
Yeah,
oh, that's right, you didn't read it. Okay, read now. Now. Hadha the vel. Hadha baytun. This is. Hadha means this or this is. This is baytun. Bayt means house. Baytun means a house. This is a house. Naam, Zaid. Next one. From right to left. Hadha masjidun. This, hadha means this or this is. Masjidun means, masjid, we know means what? Masjid, mosque. This is a masjid. Naam. Jamil, next sentence. Huh? Hadha babun. With a long vowel. Hadha babun. Bab means what? Door. You can see the picture there. Bab means door. This is a door. Okay, go down to the next line. Next line, who wants to read? Naam, Abdul Shakur. Hadha kitabun. This is a book. Naam, read the next one. Naam. Hadha qalamun. Qalamun. Look, brothers and sisters, please make a note. All the time we remind you of this. This letter qaf is different than this letter kaf. This letter is kaf. Kaf. This is Qaw. This one, ka. Kitab. This one, qaw. Qalam. Qaw. Don't say kalam. Qalam. Qalam. Kalam, speech. Qalam, a pen. We don't want to get the difference between kalam and qalam. Kalam means speech with kaf. Qalam means a pen. Qalamun. With qaf. Okay? Hadha qalamun. This is a pen. Next word, somebody. Naam. Ahmed. Hadha miftahun. Notice it has a long vowel. Miftahun. And it ends with the letter ha. Like in Ahmed. Huh? That's different from the ha in Allahu. Allahu. Huwa. Huwa Allahu. Ahad. Ahad. Okay, naam. Who didn't read yet? Somebody else who didn't read. Third, go down to the bottom of the page. Last line. Somebody who didn't read. Hassan. Hadha what? Last line on the bottom of the page. First one from the right side. First sentence on the bottom of the page from the right side. Hadha maktabun. Maktabun. Okay? The kaf has a sukoon. Whenever a letter has a sukoon, means you join it with the syllable that's before it, right? So the main fatha is joined with the kaf. Maktabun. Maktab means what? A desk or table, writing table. Something that you write upon. From kataba, yaktubu. Kataba means to write. So a maktab is a place where you write. You go to the desk and you sit down and write on it. Maktab. Hadha maktabun. Okay, who wants to read the next one? Who didn't read yet? Naam, Hanif.
Hadha
sarirun. Sarirun. Short vowel, long vowel. This is a bed. Last one. Naam, who didn't read yet? Naam, Sadiq. Hadha kursiyun. With a shadda on the ya. Hadha kursiyun. This is a chair. Tayyib. Next page. As-safha as-sitta. As-sadisa. As-safha as-sadisa. The sixth page. Sitta. Rakam sitta. Next page. Naam. Top of the page. Naam. Well, it's here. So once we got it here, inshallah. Look, sometimes some of the words will not be fully voweled, right? Sometimes there's some words, some of the vowels are written, some of the vowels are left out. Once you learn a new word, in any lesson. After that, we don't have to write all the vowels no more. After that, you're supposed to know the word, okay? So if the vowels are written there, alhamdulillah. If they're not written there, alhamdulillah. Okay? The purpose of leaving out the vowels is so that you begin to start learning how to read without vowels. Because generally speaking, Arabic is written without vowels. But in these books, we are putting the vowels in so to help us to learn how to read. But once you learn a word, you want to train yourself to be able to read without vowels. So sometimes you're going to see a word after the word is given initially, fully voweled. After that, you may see it with only some of the vowels or none of the vowels. And you should know it by now, okay? So please try to learn the words as you go along. If you don't see the vowels in, you can ask, put it in with a pencil though. If you don't know a word and it doesn't have vowels and you check it and you get the correct voweling, write it in with a pencil. So that once you learn that word, you can erase it. Because you want to start reading without vowels. We want to be able to read without vowels. Okay? The only way to do that is that once you learn a word, get rid of the vowels. So if you have to write the vowels in, write it in with a pencil. And then once you learn that word, you got to erase the vowels. Alright? Okay, next page. At the top of the page, we have the question. Ma hadha. Notice that this has two long vowels, even though the first aleph is not written. Hadha. Hadha is pronounced as though it has the aleph here. Hadha. It's pronounced as though what? There are two long vowels. Hadha. But it's written with only one aleph. Okay, the first aleph is not written when you write the word, but it's pronounced with a long vowel. Hadha. Okay, ma hadha. What is this? What is this? Okay, this is what we're going to do now. We're going to talk about what is this? Or is this? Okay, somebody read from the top. Naam, Abdul Shakur. Ma hadha. Read. Keep reading. Hadha baytun. Keep reading. Ahadha baytun? Naam, hadha baytun. Okay? First question, what? Ma hadha? What is this? Answer? Hadha baytun. This is a house. Next kind of question. Okay, that's the person who doesn't have a clue what it is. He just came from underground somewhere. He never saw a house before. Ma hadha? What is this? And you tell him, hadha baytun. This is a house. Now, the second person, he didn't come from underground. He saw houses before, but this house is so gigantic. He's wondering, is this a factory or office building or what? But it's really somebody's house. It's a rich person's house, right? So he says, Ahadha baytun? Is this a house? And you say to him, Naam, Ahadha baytun. Believe it or not, this is a house. This is a rich man's house. It don't look like the normal houses we see, right? So this is a question of the person who thinks they know what something is, but they're not sure. So they're asking, Hadha baytun? Is this a house? Naam, hadha baytun. Or maybe you might say, la.
When reading, you know, your expression,
like, Naam.
Is that important?
Intonation. That indicates statement, question, affirmation. Naam. That's important, intonation. When you're asking a question, in English even, there's a way you can ask a question, the person know that you're asking a question, just from the sound of your voice, the intonation, right? So in Arabic, we should do the same thing. You're making a statement, say it like it's a statement. You're making a question, say it like it's a question. Now. Now, the first question is, what is this? The answer is, Hadha Baytun. This is a house. This is a house. The second question, Ahadha Baytun, is this a house? The answer, Naam. This is a house. Tayyib. Somebody else read. Naam, Ahmed.
Ahadha Baytun? Naam. Ahadha Baytun.
Ma hadha? Ma hadha?
Hadha Qamisun.
Hadha Qamisun. Ma hadha? What is this? What's the answer? Hadha Qamisun. Qaf and Saad. Qamisun. Hadha Qamisun. This is a what?
Shirt.
This is a shirt. Naam, Jamil. Read. Ahadha Sarirun. Answer. La, hadha kursiyun. Listen to the intonation of the words, okay? Listen to this. Ahadha sarirun? That's a question. Is this a bed? La. Pause. You see the comma there? That means pause. Don't say la hadha kursiyun. You don't say la hadha kursiyun. Say la hadha kursiyun. No. Not, no, this is a chair. No. Stop. Pause. This is a chair. Huh? That's what a comma is there. To tell you, to make a pause in the middle of your answer. La. Hada kursiyun. Type next question. Now. Yes, that's how the comma is written in Arabic. Now. Okay, that's how it's written in Arabic. Inshallah. That's how comma is written in Arabic. Now. Next question. Who wants to read the next one? Naam, Zaid. Ahada miftahun? La, hada qalamun. Ahada miftahun? What does that mean? Is this a key? The answer? La. Hada qalamun. This is a pen. Is this a key? No, this is a pen. Naam. Could be a tape recorder. If the person was a ninja, it might be something else. Now, next question. Next question. Who didn't read? Somebody else who didn't read. Now, Hanif.
Ma hada?
Naam.
Hada najmun.
Ma hada? Hada najmun. Hada najmun. What is a najmun? What does that mean? A star. Star. Star up in the sky is called Najmun. Next page. Sabah. Sabah. Seven. Page seven. Okay, on the top of the page, there's a word. You have to learn that word. It's not on a vocabulary list, but you have to learn that word. That word is what? Who knows what word is written on the top of the page there? Huh? You have to learn this word. Huh? Okay, what's this word? Naam. Tamreen. What does it mean? Exercise. Okay, it means exercise. And later we're going to get the plural of it. Tamareen, which means exercises. But you have to learn these words. Tamreen. Wahid. Tamreen rakam wahid. First exercise. Number one. Exercise number one. Tayyib, somebody read. Naam, Ahmed. Answer. Oh, I'm sorry. What? Okay, this exercise requires you to look at the picture and then answer it, okay? So, for example, if somebody was pointing to this picture and they said, Ma hadha, then you have to say what? Not, is it? Ma hadha. Without, yes or no should be the answer to a question, is this a book? Is this a pen? But here we're just saying, Ma hadha. Answer?
Hada
miftahun. Ah, you see the first picture? That's a miftahun. What is the miftah? Key. Okay, next question. Who wants to answer it? I'm going to ask the question. Yeah, Abdul Shakur. Ma hada?
Hada
kitabun. Hada kitabun. What's a kitabun?
Book.
A book. Next question. Ma hada? Ma hada ya Hazm? Hazm? Ma hadha?
Hadha
qalamun. Short vowels. Qalamun. Qalamun. Hadha qalamun. What's a qalamun? A pen. Next question. Ma hadha? Ya akhi. Naam. Hanif.
Hadha babun.
Hadha babun. Hadha babun. What's a babun? A door. Next question. Ma hadha? Ma hadha? Ya Zaid. Hadha baytun. Hadha baytun. Huh? Baytun means what? A house. This is a house. Okay, last question. Ma hadha? ما هذا؟ نعم نعم go ahead. هذا كرسي. كرسي with a shadd on the ya, huh? Shadd on the ya, two ya's. كرسي. This is a chair. Okay, next page. ثمانية. Page 8. الصفحة رقم ثمانية. Page 8. On the top of the page, it says the same word again. تمرين. تمرين رقم اثنين. تمرين number 2. Second exercise. I mean, تمرين رقم 2. Number 2. طيب. Somebody got to answer these questions also. These questions have Hamza in the beginning of it. That means this is a question where a person is not sure about something. Is it this or that? So when they ask the question, you have to say, Na'am, this is such and such. Or, La, this is whatever it is. Okay? If I ask you a question about a house, and I'm pointing to a masjid, then you got to say, No. This is a masjid. This is not a house. This is a masjid. If it is a house, you say, Na'am. This is a house. I want a complete answer. Na'am, this is a hadha baytun. Or la, hadha masjidun. Complete answers. Okay, who wants to take the first one? Okay, Abdul Shakur. This is for you, first question. Ahadha baytun?
La,
hadha masjidun. Is this a house? No, this is a masjid. Who wants the next question? Hazm. أهذا مفتاح؟
لا.
لا هذا قلم. أهذا مفتاح؟ Is this a key؟ لا. No. هذا قلم. 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 This is a pen. نعم يا جميل. أهذا قميص؟ Yes, huh? طيب بالعربية نعم أهذا قميص ها نعم finish نعم هذا نعم هذا قميص look usually most of the time in any question in Arabic you will get help from the question to make the answer. Okay, most of the time you can formulate the answer part of it from the question itself. أهذا قميص؟ نعم هذا قميص. You already got هذا قميص in the question, right? All you got to do is answer yes or no. So here you're going to say أهذا قميص. Is this a shirt? نعم هذا قميص. Yes, this is a shirt. طيب who wants the next one? نعم أحمد. أهذا نجم؟ نعم هذا نجم. Is this a star? أهذا نجم؟ نعم هذا نجم. جيم والسكون نجم. Yes, this is a star. Okay, turn the page. الصفحة رقم تسعة. تسعة. نين. Page 9. تمرين رقم ثلاثة. Exercise number 3. طيب. This exercise has an instruction that you must learn. Very important to learn. I'm going to write this instruction here. And I want you to remember it. It says what? Iqra. Iqra. Waqtub. You have to learn this instruction. Iqra. Waqtub. Iqra. Waqtub. What does that mean? First thing I want you to notice is that this alif here is actually what? Hamzatul wasl. Hamzatul wasl. And Hamzatul wasl means what? It means join whatever is before it to whatever is after it. So you're going to read from here, Iqra, Hamza with sukoon. Iqra, stop. It's no vowel on the Hamza. It's a glottal stop. Iqra. And then you're going to go, wa. Go straight to the calf, because Hamzatul Wasl says join whatever's before to whatever's after. So you're going to say, Waktub. Waktub. Is it clear? Iqra. Waktub. Waktub. Not Waktub. Not Waktub. Waktub. Okay, if this word was by itself, If this word was by itself, it would be pronounced. This Hamza Tilwasl would be pronounced with a Dhamma. Okay, it would be pronounced Uktub. But this Hamza Tilwasl is pronounced with a Dhamma if it's by itself. But if there's something before it, Hamza Tilwasl just means what? Joining whatever's before it to whatever's after it. So you're going to say Waktub. Ikra Waktub. Ikra Waktub means what? Read. And wow means end. Wa means end. Right. Read and write. We're going to see this instruction again and again and again. We're going to see it again and again and again. You must memorize it. That's part of your lesson there. You got to learn these two words. Iqra means read. Waktub means and write. They're asking you what you have to do for this exercise. You have to read it and you have to write it. We're going to read it in class and you, inshallah, are going to write it on your own time. You are going to write it on your own time. Inshallah. You must write it. It's not just enough to read it, you also have to write it. Tayyib. Alright, let's read. This exercise is a long exercise. But we're almost at the end. Okay, so you have to read now and write later. Alright, who wants to read? Naam. Let's read from the top of the page. After Iqra Waktub, we're going to go from right straight across to the left. Then we're going to go down to the next line, read straight across to the left. Then we're going to go down to the next line, go straight across to the left, and then we're going to go to the second half of this lesson. Naam, read. First line. Hada maktabun. What does that mean? Somebody tell me. Hada maktabun. This is a table or a desk, huh? Hada maktabun. Now read again. Hada masjidun. Hada masjidun. Notice there are no vowels here. Now you have to know these words, okay? Hada masjidun, which means what? This is a masjid. Now again. Hada qalamun. Hada qalamun. This is a pen. Okay, somebody else read. Naam, Hazm. Hada sarirun. Means what? Anybody. This is a bed. Read. Ma hada? Good. Kursiyun. Put the tanween on then. Kursiyun. Look, this is a rule, brothers, sisters. Whenever a noun does not have alif lam, whenever a noun doesn't have in the beginning of it alif lam, L, then always read that word with tanween. Because an Arabic noun, except few exceptions, a noun in Arabic is always going to have alif lam or tanween, one or the other. So if you don't see alif lam, automatically assume that it's tanween. Okay, there are some Arabic words, special words, right? That are mamnu min al-sarf. They don't take tanween. That's special. But we're not going to worry about that now. That's far ahead of us. For now, we have to know what? Arabic nouns, generally speaking, most of the time, have to have alif lam or tanween. If you don't see alif lam, read tanween. Okay? Hada kursiyun. There's no alif lam. So read tanween. What does that mean? Hada kursiyun, ya sadiq. Ya hada kursiyun means what? This is a chair. Okay, next line. Somebody read. Abdul Shakur. Ahada baytun? La hada masjidun. Ma hada? Miftahun. Okay, from the beginning of that line. Ahada baytun. What does that mean? Is this a house? La. Hada masjidun. No. This is a masjid. Ma hada? What does it mean? What is this? Hada miftahun. What does that mean? This is a key. This is a key. Tayyib, you have to read, and on your own time, you have to go back and write these sentences out. Okay, last part of the lesson is with the new question. Instead of ma hada, we have what? من هذا من هذا That's right. When you're talking about a person, you say men hadha. Men hadha. Okay? This is the end of the time for our class. Okay, what we want to do right now, right? We have this little bit remaining. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to read the rest of the lesson from men hadha on page 9 until the end of the lesson on page 11. 9, 10, 11. I'll actually read that for homework in addition to doing the exercises in your notebook. All the exercises that we covered already, do them in your notebook. And then I want you to finish this lesson on your own. Men hadha. I want you to finish reading it, writing, doing whatever has to be done. Whatever you have trouble with, inshallah we're gonna finish it in the next class. The next class after we review, we're gonna start reading from here. In the next class we're gonna start reading from where? Men hadha. But meanwhile, before the next class, I want you to read it to the end of the lesson on your own.
Stops on 20.
No, it stops on 11. Stops on 11. 9, 10, and 11.
What we have to do after the lesson, we go home to the
Now, what are we going to do when you go home? The first thing you're going to do is you're going to go back and review the key. That's where we always start with the key. Look at the grammatical points that's mentioned in the key, in the English key in the back of the book. Okay, you're going to go back and read the key. The key contains three things. The most important thing it contains is the grammatical points in this lesson and the vocabulary words, the meaning of the vocabulary words. The third thing that it contains, it gives you the translation of the instructions for each exercise. In case you read in the book and you're saying, do something, read and write. I don't know what read and write means. So in the key, it tells you the exercises in this lesson, what they require you to do. It tells you you have to read and write. It tells you you have to fill in the blanks. It tells you have to make new sentences or whatever you have to do. Okay? So you go back to the key, and number one, you read the grammatical points. Study them carefully. Make sure you understand them. Number two, go over the vocabulary and try to memorize as much as you can. Then after that, you're going to go back and read the dialogue or the text of the lesson from the beginning of the Arabic text of the lesson. Now when you go back and read it, what should you be paying attention to? Number one, you should be paying attention to the grammatical points. Looking for things like ما هذا من هذا أهذا Those are the things that we said you have to learn in this lesson. So when you're reading the text from the beginning of the lesson in Arabic, that's what you should be looking for. Where's that stuff at that it's talking about here? And making sure you understand it. The second thing you're going to be looking for is trying to know the meaning of the vocabulary words. This lesson has a lot of vocabulary words, so it's a little bit difficult for you to read the lesson and understand it thoroughly because you don't know all the vocabulary words yet. But inshallah, during the week, if you learn maybe two words every day, by the time you come back to class, you should have learned at least half of the vocabulary words. At least half of them. And if you learned half of them, then inshallah in the following week, you'll learn the other half with the four new vocabulary words we're going to take in lesson two. Okay, so what should you be doing when you go back? Go back, read the key. Go over the grammatical points, go over the vocabulary words, then go back and read the Arabic text of the lesson and do the exercises. Write out the exercises in your notebook. Write out everything that you can write out. Especially where it says write, you must write. If it doesn't say write, you don't have to write, but it's better. If it's an exercise, you got to fill in something, you got to write it. Okay, you got to write it. SubhanAllahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.